Welcome to the Home Building Hero, where we help you become the hero of your new home by providing you all the information that you need. No matter if you're an industry pro, you're building, or you're buying, we got you covered here at the Home Building Hero. We're coming to you live today from the LP Studios here in Wisconsin. I'm your host, David Bellman, president of Bellman Homes. Thank you for tuning in today. So you've decided you're going to build your brand new home. Now, to most people, this is a completely foreign undertaking, a foreign process to them. It's something they probably have never done before in their life. Very few people build more than one, maybe two homes in their life. And so most people really don't know how to go about the process. So today we're going to be talking about the top questions you need to ask your builder before you move forward. You're definitely going to want to take notes on this, bring a pad of paper, write some of these down, because if you are thinking about building and you're serious about doing this in the next couple of years, these are great primer questions coming directly from a builder to help you guys really understand the full process and make sure that you're making a good choice and that you're picking a good fit for you to build your home. Now, if you get someone that can't answer these questions, you may need to have them bring somebody else from the company in to answer these. A lot of times you're dealing with salespeople that don't always know these answers. If they're not able to answer the questions, you definitely need to find someone in the company that can. If you're not, you may want to reconsider that builder. But these are really important questions to ask and will definitely improve the communication, will improve your knowledge of the process, and hopefully make you feel more comfortable as well when you're building your new home. All right, let's begin. Let's go through some of the top questions you need to ask your builder. I think one of the early questions that I absolutely love that you should ask your builder is, what sets you apart? Again, what sets you apart as the first question? And this one, I think, is so open-ended, it really can give you a variety of responses. And if the builder just says, well, I'm the cheapest, I'm the fastest, I'm the best quality, those are crap answers. That really is a company that isn't different from anyone else. You want to find a company that has something very unique about them. And hopefully that unique item or two that they really talk about appeals to you. For example, for my company, two things that I think really set us apart is, one is our commitment to the building experience. We want to create the ultimate building experience one customer at a time. We're really about the building experience. Nobody else in my market talks about that. And we have really good, positive Google reviews about our home building. That's something that's different. The second thing that makes us different is we're the only company in the whole state that's built and provided 7 mortgage-free homes for wounded combat veterans. I can guarantee you no one else can say that. And so now we've got some differentiators. Now, will they appeal to everybody? Maybe not, but this definitely helps hone in on my target market. Okay, the next question you need to ask your builder is, what type of builder are you? Now, if they don't understand what you mean by that, then you could kind of go a little further into detail and say, well, are you like a semi-custom builder? Are you full custom builder? Are you production builder? Are you a remodeler that occasionally builds? Like, what's your main business? What type of clients do you help? Okay, that gives you a lot of answers there too, because if you're really wanting a full custom house with a lot of detail spent in it, you're not going to want to work with a production builder, because they're just going to be like, hey, this is what you get, take it or leave it, we're going to bang it out and move on. If you're looking just for price, then you probably are going to want to talk to maybe a production builder, because they're going to do it quickly and as cheaply as possible, but they're going to limit what you can do. Also, if you find somebody that's mainly a remodeler and occasionally they build a home, I'd be really careful about that, because a lot of those guys, they're really good at remodeling. And you really don't want them building a house because it's just not something they normally do. They probably don't even have all the trades that they need to complete that build, especially if they only build one or two a year. And it could end up being kind of a nightmare project, especially if you have a lot of detail in it. So you really want to find out what type of builder they are and make sure it matches the type of home that you want to have built. All right, the next question you need to ask your builder, tell me about your approach with your trades. And some of them may not even answer this question. That's probably a red flag, but you want your builder to answer this question. What's your approach with your trades? And if they're like, well, what do you mean by that? Well, like, I mean, how do you handle bidding? How do you select the trades for the house? Do I get a choice? This just opens up a whole bunch of dialogue, if nothing else. But it can also be very revealing. Because there's some builders out there that are like, okay, yep, we have a list of, 20 plumbers, and we send your plan to all 20 builders to ensure you get the best price. Translation to me is, I'm going to go find the cheapest guy I can so I can make the most money. So understand what they're saying and what they say about it. I tell people, I have the Noah's Ark of trades. I have two of everybody. I've got two plumbers. I've got two electricians. But I've worked with these guys for years and years and years, and I know how they're going to perform on my job site. They work with all my other trades really well, and they understand how we want our home built and the type of quality that goes into it. I'm not going to be the cheapest guy in town, but I'm going to do it right, and I'm going to use the best guys that I know in the industry. Okay? That's not, again, going to appeal to the guy that's looking for the cheapest price. It's going to appeal to the person that wants a really quality build. Okay, so that's a great question because it just kind of lets you know their philosophy. Another question you can ask, how is your pricing? Do you do cost plus? Are your prices fixed? Again, this will reveal a lot about how they handle their pricing, whether it's from changes to just general pricing. I mean, there's some builders that do cost plus. Hey, we'll show you all the bids and we add X amount onto it. Okay, cool. Then you got to find out, is there any other charges besides that? If they're like, no, we basically quote you a price, it's fixed. How long is it fixed for? You need to know that, okay? Is it something where, if I sit on this for 2 weeks, you're going to start hitting me with charges? Or if I don't make a decision right away, am I getting hit with charges? Those are really important questions to answer. How much of this is allowances? You know what? If you have lots of allowances in a contract with a builder, you got to be really careful because the next follow-up question, this isn't even on my list that I'm going over here for the podcast, but are your allowance figures realistic? Because a lot of times they aren't. Oh, yeah, we have flooring allowance. We have lighting allowance. We have a plumbing fixture allowance. They have an allowance for this. They have an allowance for that. Well, are those allowances even going to get me what you show in the model? That's a great question to ask too. Are the allowances representative of what's in the model? They're like, well, no, our models are all upgraded. Okay, well, how much are they upgraded? These are all things that you got to ask. And so even though I'm going to give you questions here, some of these questions aren't the end-all, be-all question. This may precipitate follow-up questions, but this is a great starting point for you. So as you use these questions, you can kind of mold them in your head and figure out, okay, I'm not so certain I like that answer. Maybe you got to meet with them again and ask some follow-up questions because there's something that you heard that you don't feel good about. Okay, another great question to ask your builder, who's my main point of contact throughout the process? Now, there's no wrong or right answer here. It's just what do you feel comfortable with? If your salesperson's like, you're going to be working with me all the way through, I'll keep you up to date. If you really like the salesperson and they seem to be good at following up, maybe that's okay, but typically at some point in the company, you're going to be dealing with somebody else. What I do tend to worry about is that situation where you have the salesperson that's always trying to give you the song and dance and you never deal with anyone else in the company. That can make you nervous. There aren't a lot of companies that do that. You also have to be careful about the company that just hands you off constantly. Oh, well, we have our pre-planned person. We have our designer. We have our estimator. We have our, pre-construction specialist, then we have our construction phase one specialist, and then we have our phase two person, and then we transition you over to the closing department, and then we closing you over to the warranty department, and then we have to take you over to finance. Whoa. I can tell you that if you get that many runarounds, you're going to have a different story every single time. And it could be a big builder, but at the same time, that's pretty messed up. Like, the communication has got to be on point all the time, or you're going to definitely have issues there. So find out who your point of contact is and when things are switched over. And you may even want to meet, the next person in line somewhere in the process. So you're working with the salesperson, like, yeah, I only take you up, you know, to the contract, and then you work with a pre, you know, planned person. You may want to say, hey, could I just get introduced to them the next time I'm in? I'd like to meet them. Or, you know, do you know who my project manager would be? I'd like to meet them. That's not an unreasonable request, because you're going to be working with those people probably as much, if not more, than your salesperson at some point. The next great question is, who do I deal with when I have an issue? Do I work directly with you, Mr. Salesperson, Mrs. Salesperson, or do I have a complaint department? I have one person I know in the industry that works for another builder, and she says she works in the complaint department. I'm like, you have a complaint department. That's interesting. We don't have a complaint department. it's just things you hear sometimes. Just shake your head. But okay. But yeah, who's the person you deal with an issue? Do I deal directly with the builder? Am I dealing with some sort of manager? Am I dealing with, you know, the secretary? Who am I dealing with? Who do I go to if I do have an issue? Next great question you want to ask your builder: how does the selection process work? Holy cow, everybody does that different. Some people send you, oh, just go into, you know, we'll give you a list of vendors. You go in there and pick stuff out, and then we'll give you a price. Well, buckle up, because you're going to have a lot of extras. Or, you know, yeah, we have a design team on hand. Okay, cool. Here, you know, we have a showroom. Okay, great. Or, hey, you know, you really don't get to pick anything. You know, you get to pick the paint color, and that's it. Okay, well, that's not what I was expecting. So find out what that selection process looks like and make sure that it aligns with what you're looking for. And again, if you feel like you're going to be getting the runaround or it's going to be a very difficult process, you may want to ask some follow-up questions or ask to meet some of the people that you're going to be dealing with, and find out what you're really getting into, because a lot of builders, they've created the selection process to be this huge upsell opportunity for them. So you think, wow, this builder is cheaper than everybody else in town. It's great value. I can't believe their prices are $50,000, $70,000 lower than everyone else. And then you go into your selection process and you walk out of there and you've spent $112,000 more on your house just to get what you thought would be an acceptable home. And you even cut back on what you really wanted. Well, guess what? You got played a little bit, and that happens all the time. So you got to be very careful about that. So learning about the selection process is hugely important. Next question: how do I go about making changes? It's a really important one, because believe it or not, most people will come to me and be like, we're going to figure all this out up front so I don't have to make any changes during the build. I'm like, okay, yeah, right. I joke and I tell people that. I'm like, yes, you say that and I appreciate that and I hope you can do that. But quite honestly, I've never had one person go through the build without making at least one change. People make changes. It's human nature, especially as this product is going up before your eyes. You're going to get tempted to do something, or you're going to get some good news. You're going to get a bonus at work or whatever it is, and you're going to want to put it into your home. It happens. We get it. So find out how they go about making changes. Is there a fee for making changes? When do I pay the fee? How soon do I have to pay for the changes? And then even find out, you know, is it best to do everything right away? Is it going to cost me more if I do this later? Most of the time, the answer is yes, by the way, but you probably want to ask anyway. Learn about that change process. Some builders have a thing too where they're like, hey, we're going to give you a week, and then we're locking everything in. And after that, there are no more changes. I just talked to someone that worked for another builder, and they said they have a process where after they give them a certain amount of time, after that, they lock it in. And then it's $1,000 just to have a change request. $1,000 just to make one change. That's crazy. Okay, next great question you're going to want to ask your builder: what are the typical extras with your company? What do your typical customers add or upgrade? This should promulgate some good discussion. And they should have some sort of answer. If they don't, they're probably hiding something. I normally tell my customers, yeah, a lot of times when people get into the selection process, they'll upgrade their quartz, or they'll go into the lighting store and they'll spend more than the lighting allowance. It's pretty common. And the other area we have upcharges sometimes is tile. because it can literally be installed millions of different ways. There's different sizes, shapes. Then there's bullnoses and floor tiles, and probably enough to do a whole podcast just on why tile can cost so much more. But I digress. Those are the things that we see as extras, and those are the things we prep our customers for. And a lot of times we tell customers, hey, put a little bit of money aside for those things if you think you're going to upgrade them, or you want to make sure you don't have any extras at the end. Next great question you want to ask your builder: where do most people exceed their budget? Ooh, that's a good one. Because there's got to be at least an area where some people go over. Again, for us, a lot of times it's lighting. Now, the customer in our case is fully in control of the lighting. They go into the lighting store, they make every single selection, they see every single price, and it gets totaled. And they before they sign the order form, they can make that decision. Do they want to exceed their budget? So it's really easy for our customers to understand that's an area that go over. The other areas that customers go over, it could be anything. It could be site improvements. It could be just depends on how many allowances you have. We don't have a lot of allowances, so most of our customers really don't go over by a lot. But some do. And most of the time our customers know it well beforehand because we put it on a change order and they sign off on it, so they approve it. But find out where typically you're going to have overages. Another great question, especially for you financial people out there: explain your draw process. Now, you might get salespeople, especially an experienced one, that's just going to be like, not even know. And you're definitely going to want to talk to someone else in the company then. If the salesperson knows, find out. Some builders take a draw as soon as they get the permit, and you're giving them a whole bunch of money right away before they've even really invested any money into your house. They're using your money right away. That can be kind of worrisome. Our first draw is 3 months into construction. The house is half built. That means I'm financing a lot of it for you as a customer, and that means you're not paying interest for 3 months. And some builders have multiple draws. They take five or six draws. It means constantly going to the bank and requesting payment, and your mortgage payment is going to continue to go up and up and up until you get near the end of the home. We do three draws. It's simple. We're allowed four, but we always do three. Only time we do four is if we do a gigantic house. Another great question to ask: what deadlines do I need to be aware of? Now, if the builder can be like, hey, these are certain things that, can hold you up, and you take that advice to heart and you get that information done quickly and get back to your builder, guess what? Your build's going to go faster. It's going to be a lot smoother. So find out what deadlines you need to be aware of. Or, hey, you got this special pricing, but you need to close your loan within the next 30 days to get this promotion. Otherwise, you're going to lose the $5,000 discount or the free trip or whatever it is that you're getting with your build, your incentive, because you certainly don't want to miss it by a week and then find out you're not getting it and you're already committed to building it and you wish you didn't now. So learn those deadlines. And then the last great question that I have to ask your builder: explain your warranty and service call process. Most people spend very little time thinking about the warranty. It's like, do you have a warranty? Yes. Oh, okay. Check box. Move on. No. You got to find out. A lot of people use national warranties. Some are good, some are bad. Find out what that company is, and then find out how they handle it. Like, some people just have a form that they go online and they fill out, and then they wait and hope they get a response back. Some builders will, collect it directly and then send it off, and that's not always good either because you could be waiting weeks and months. We go to the house personally, walk through the house, so if there is something that is legit or not legit, we talk through that right away with you, and then we order the work. And then what happens? Is there extended warranty? Who do I contact for that? Do I contact the manufacturer? Do I contact you? When do I stop working with you? When do I work directly with the manufacturer? Those are all things that you need to find out how it works, because at some point something will go wrong or there'll be an issue with your home, and you really need to figure that out. And you don't want to be, standing in your basement with a puddle of water, freaking out, and not knowing who to call. Who are you going to call, right? So there you have it. There's a whole huge list of questions you should ask your builder. Hopefully, you guys have written these down and you will use these. I guarantee you that if you do, it's going to help smooth out your build process. It may help you weed out some builders as well and make it a much better, easier building experience for everyone involved.
Once again, thank you for tuning in to The Home Building Hero, broadcasting live from the Bellman Home Studio. If you haven't already, please make sure to give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts and make sure to hit that subscribe button so you don't miss any future content. Until next time, I'm David Bellman, signing off.